Hard Place, a novel by R.A. Jacobson. Listener discretion is advised. Contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Chapter 72. Jacob finds Billy's stash. An hour past Old Scratch Tavern on 11, Jacob, Brian, and Clyde turned off the main road onto a two-wheeled trail that threaded itself through the trees opening onto a farmyard. An old washing machine, a ratty couch, and several rusted vehicles were scattered about, all in various states of disassembly. Jacob chuckled to himself, remembering an old joke about a yard sale. They bounced and splashed down the hard-packed drive riddled with potholes before coming to a stop.
"Dutch! Dutch, you about?"
Jacob called as he stepped out of Clyde and headed towards the garage. He looked back. Brian hadn't gotten out.
"They ain't gonna bite you. Don't be such a chicken."
Two big German shepherds exploded, snarling from the garage. Jacob knelt down and petted the tail-wagging beast as they licked his beard in greeting.
"They might."
Brian was still sitting in Clyde. Jacob shook his head. He knew a stray had bitten Brian when he was just a kid, way before they were marked. He supposed he still carried a scar from that.
"Dutch,"
he called as he walked deeper into the yard.
"Jacob, is that you?"
From the garage, a big man dressed in dirty blue coveralls stepped out, wiping his hands.
"Hey, Dutch, how's it going?" "It's going."
Dutch looked past Jacob at Brian, still sitting in Clyde, looking at the dogs.
"Jeez, Brian. You're one huge motherfucker and you're scared of my dogs? Don't that beat all?"
He made a wet sound, somewhere between a cough and a laugh.
"What brings you fellas out this way?"
"Wondering if you've seen Billy lately."
Dutch continued wiping his hands and looked at Jacob.
"Well, yeah, I did. Promise not to tell, but since he's dead, I guess it don't matter nohow."
"He leave something with you?"
"Well, yeah, did sorta."
"Sorta?"
"Yeah. He asked if he could leave something here for a couple of days. I told him no, 'cause I don't want no trouble with the law. But he says it ain't illegal. Just trying to hide it from a girl. So I says it's fine. Told him to put it in the trunk of the old 55 Chev I got out back."
"Know what it is?"
"No, and I ain't gone and looked."
"Mind if we go have a peek?"
"Well, I don't rightly know what to do. Ain't like he's coming back for it. So I guess you might as well take it out of here. I don't know what it is. Be obliging to you."
Brian finally slipped out of Clyde and stood while the dog sniffed him up and down. Tentatively, he started to pet them.
"They ain't so bad," Brian said.
"Fuck, let's get going," Jacob said with an eye roll. They walked to Dutch's graveyard, a part of his north field cluttered with dozens of junked cars. Some were parts cars, some were nothing but wrecks, others were projects he planned to get to someday. The old 55 was the better part of a four-door 1955 Chevy Bel Air. It was mostly a deep blue mixed with rust, with one greenish front fender and two white doors on the passenger side. It was a project car that had been out in the yard for 10 years, but Dutch would still say,
"No reason to start a project unless you're ready to finish it."
They walked back to the old 55. In the trunk, on top of engine parts and abandoned tools, was a black plastic bag. Jacob pulled it out and set it on the trunk and untied it. Inside, he found a dark wooden box covered with a faded and stained checkerboard pattern. He undid the small latch, and what he found inside took his breath away. Inside, laying on worn, deep red felting, partially wrapped in white linen cloth, were more coins.
"Shit!"
they said in unison.
"What?"
Clyde asked. "There's a shitload more of those fucking coins."
"Well, how many?" Clyde asked.
"Don't know, maybe 20, 25? 25?
If Gran was freaking over four being together, then 25 is just fucking crazy," Brian said.
"I can feel them. There's some sort of buzz to them," Clyde said.
Brian looked around. "I think we better get the fuck out of here."
Yeah, I agree. Jacob put the box back in the plastic bag and tucked it under his arm. They hustled through the deep grass, past the dead cars, rusted metal, and waved to Dutch as they got into Clyde. They drove slowly out, bouncing over the rough lane, and turned south onto 11.
Well, Jacob, what do you figure? Is it time to go see the judge and ask him what's going on? Why he killed Ann?
Brian asked. Yeah, I think it's getting time to ask hard, Jacob said.
I need a beer. Maybe Brandy's heard something new.
Yeah, and I could use one of Frank's burgers.
In a little less than an hour, they turned into the parking lot of the old scratch. When they walked in, Jacob noticed Brandy wasn't there. Frank stood behind the bar, looking pissed as usual.
What's going on? Brandy didn't come in. A couple of suits came by a while ago, creepy as fuck, asking all kinds of questions about you and the folks around here. Seemed to know more than they should have.
Always smiling. What hornet's nest have you stirred up, Jacob? It's getting beyond fucking weird around here, Frank growled.
Brandy didn't come in? Jacob asked.
Yeah, it's odd. She would have called if she weren't coming. But there are some strange times, man. Billy's dead, Ann's dead, and now I hear Gran Anderson died in a fire.
Frank started pulling their pints.
Wait! Gran is dead? What are you fucking talking about?
Brian stood, knocking the stool backward.
Shit, Brian. Sorry, man. I thought you heard. Yeah, her house burnt down. Some kind of gas leak.
Frank stood, holding a fresh pints in his hand.
Gas leak? What the fuck? Gran always cooked with wood.
She didn't hold with newfangled stoves.
Brian screamed. Jacob touched his arm. Easy, Brian. Easy. He reached back and picked up the stool. He looked down at his beer. Must have been the judge after her coin.
It's fucking time I got some answers from that fucker. I'm heading to have a little conversation with or without you, Brian said.
No, I'm with you.
He'll pay for it and Ann too. Jacob stood with him, with his friend.
Chapter 73. Matt tells a story. The stretch of country road was quiet except for the first tentative sawings of insects. The trees that lined one side had not yet budded out. Brown grass and weeds filled the ditches. The new green was pushing through the dry flotsam of last summer. Dead-looking fields that waited to be turned and planted stretched into the distance. The roar of a large V8 shattered the quiet, pushing hard as the car screamed along, kicking up a plume of dust. It was a bright white, low-slung 1959 Olds, with Matt at the wheel and Mary Lou at his side.
Matt, do we have to drive so fast? It's a beautiful day and a beautiful car. Why not enjoy it?
Mary Lou, you know I was talking to Mr. White.
Yes? Matt, please slow down.
Matt pushed harder on the gas. The sound of the big V8 moved up a notch, and the car pulled forward faster.
Well, the world sure isn't what I thought it was. I guess you know better than I do. I thought the devil and the contracts and all that were just stories. I never thought it was real. Never. Now, I know it's all true.
The car reached 70 miles an hour.
Matt, what's going on? Did you make a deal with the judge?
No. Well, I tried to. 80 miles an hour.
You tried to? What do you mean you tried to?
Well, I went to meet with him, but he refused my contract.
He refused? That's not possible. He never refuses.
Well, he refused mine. He said he couldn't give me what I wanted. 85 miles an hour.
What did you ask for?
You. 90 miles an hour.
Me? What do you mean?
I asked for your contract.
He laughed and said there was a problem with it, but that he'd get back to me. Then he just drove off. He left? I don't understand.
Then I met with Mr. White, and he explained a lot of things.
Matt, we're going too fast.
He made things clear. He said he needed a favor from me. Something he needed to get done, and he figured I could help him with it.
95 miles an hour. Gravel pinged off the undercarriage.
Matt!
Yes, he said he could help me as well. You see, your contract isn't with the judge.
Matt glanced in the mirror, then sighed.
He made a mistake when he killed you before he finalized your contract. When he brought you back, you had already been contracted to Mr. White. That's why the judge couldn't take my soul for it. Your contract was never his to sell.
100 miles an hour.
Matt, what have you done?
Not done, doing. You owed Mr. White, and now you don't.
Matt floored the accelerator.
You can sing and keep going.
105 miles an hour.
Matt, what's going on? Please, Matt, slow down.
I made my own deal, but mine is with Mr. White. I just have to do this one favor, and you will be safe for a long time. It's simple. I just have to be in a certain place at a certain time.
Matt?
Right ahead, as a matter of fact, and right now. And all I have to do when I get there is die.
Chapter 74. Jacob sees the judge. When they broke from the trees, Brian caught his breath and could see across the derelict cars to the great tree festooned with deer skulls that stood behind the judge's tiny rundown trailer. He had never seen the judge's hanging tree through Clyde's windshield, but in the demon realm, through Clyde's eyes, the tree was massive, incredibly tall, reaching far into the sky, and it was strung with human bodies. The bark was dark, almost black, with deep, twisted cracks that ran the length of the trunk. In places, the cracks oozed with a dark sap that rolled down the bark and pooled at the base. Every branch held dozens, maybe hundreds, of bodies strung up. Some looked fresh, still wet and slick. Others were only a few pieces of bone attached to the spine. Crows sat on the fresher ones, tearing at the rotting meat and calling to them, taunting them with their screeching voices as they feasted on the flesh of the souls of the judge's newer contracts.
Fuck! Brian stared at the monstrous sight.
Those are your contracts hanging up there, boys, Clyde chuckled.
Brian grunted, unsure if he wanted to look closer. He was afraid he might find his own decaying soul strung up, a noose wrapped around his withered neck. Jacob had seen the judge's trophies before.
The twins aren't here. The judge must be out, he said.
I think he's close. I can sort of sense him, Clyde said. They stopped before driving deep into the judge's compound. The colossal tree forgotten, they turned around in the grass and made their way back to the main road.
I don't think we're going to have to find him. He's coming this way fast, Clyde said. Go!
Jacob tramped down on the accelerator. Clyde's engine roared, and he clawed at the gravel till he hit the pavement. His back tires howled, smoking. He fishtailed till he got traction, then the speedometer climbed rapidly. After a few minutes, they could see the judge's GTO in the distance coming toward them.
He's not alone, Clyde said. Who's with him? Jacob asked.
Brandy.
Shit.
What now? Brian asked.
Brandy is with him, Jacob said.
Why'd she be with him?
Don't know, but I got a bad feeling.
The gap was closing fast, both vehicles driving down the middle of the road. It was a game of chicken, but with individuals who, mostly, could not be injured and had very little to lose.
Jacob,
Clyde said.
What?
Jacob replied, focusing on the car speeding towards them. I release you from your contract.
What? Wait! Can you do that?
Not really, but it will take a few seconds for head office to reinstate it. When we collide, you will be in a state of limbo, marked but without a valid contract. I'm going to take a lot of damage, and if our contract is still active, you would never survive it.
Chapter 75, A Game of Chicken. The gap closed. Jacob could see Brandy sitting in the passenger seat of the oncoming GTO, looking terrified, eyes wide, her mouth a big O. He wasn't sure her contract would protect her from the collision. Beside her, forearm resting on the steering wheel, the judge leaned back, unconcerned, and smiling, always smiling. Clyde's engine screamed, topped out. The speedometer's needle had wrapped around past 120 miles per hour till it bounced on the wrong side of the pin at zero. The truck floated on its suspension, barely touching the ground. There was no way of telling how fast they were traveling when their chrome bumpers met. The two vehicles exploded into fragments of glass and metal, bending and twisting wildly, as if they'd been turned to liquid, molten metal flowing into each other. Brian's door was flung open, casting him sideways into the ditch. He plowed into the earth and grass, rolling and flopping like a rag doll. Jacob snapped forward. His body bent the steering wheel over as he was flung headlong through the windshield, glass tearing his face and arms to bloody shreds. He flew over the roof of the crumpling GTO and slammed into the hard pavement where he skidded, coming to a stop face down yards away from the crash. His right arm was scraped to the bone, and his left hung at a crazy angle. He sat up, the flesh beginning to return to his arm, and the other straightened. His shirt and jeans were torn, and he had lost a boot. Jacob stood, swayed, and limped toward the tangle of metal, glass, and rubber that had been Clyde. He stopped and surveyed the carnage. The truck had been nearly sheared in half, the largest portion lying on its side in the ditch. Ticks from the overheated steel mixed with a high-pitched whistle of steam as it poured from the burst radiator filled the air with a hot smell. The remnants of the truck quivered as they tried to rebuild itself. Clyde had never taken this much damage, and Jacob wasn't sure he could come back from it. Brian stood, brushing glass and dirt from his tattered jeans, just as an electric spark ignited the gas that had flooded out. The explosion launched Brian 20 feet into the field and hurled Jacob back down to the pavement. When he pushed himself up, Clyde was engulfed in roiling flames. The intensity of the heat grew as one tire burst, sending flames into the air. Jacob staggered back, smelling burnt whiskers. The judge, unfazed by the inferno, looked at the wreck of his GTO. He turned, straightened his tie, and smiled at Jacob. Strewn across the pavement, mixed in with the small cubes of shattered glass and the shards of metal, were silver coins, glinting dully in the sunlight. The judge looked about, his smile widened.
"Well, Jacob, thank you for finding these coins for me. I nearly have enough."
From the wreck of the GTO, through a ragged gap left from where the door had been, Brandy crawled out, dazed but okay.
"Brandy! You're okay! What the fuck? Why are you with him?"
Jacob yelled. She pushed her hair back.
"He promised me I could live forever, young and beautiful. That's what I want. All I had to do was give him those coins I saw you bury."
Brandy's defiance returned as her eyes cleared. "It's my way out."
"He's a liar! He's not what he says he is."
"Any deal is better than no deal," she said, her voice small and shaky.
"Now, Jacob, that's not nice. I'm the one who marked you, Brian, and most of your friends." "You shut the fuck up."
Now, Jacob. No need for that kind of language."
"Why'd you kill Anne? Why'd you kill Grant Anderson? What did they ever do to you, you son of a bitch?"
Brian ran at the judge.
"Now, boys, I can see you're upset, but really, what do you expect from me?"
"It's my nature," the judge said.
"I am so fucking sick of hearing that."
Jacob leaped, swinging a massive punch at the judge. His fist connected with very little effect. Brian's fist crashed into the judge's face and pushed him back a pace.
Jacob hit him again. Brian followed.
They smashed into him, huge, powerful blows, one after another, delivered with all the force their combined weight could muster.
Blows that would have crushed any man's skull, that would have pulverized rock and stone, again and again, left, then right, then left again. They were pounding the judge, pushing him back small steps, but with no effect. His head barely shifted as the blows rained down on him. It was almost like they were not even touching him, except his hair moved slightly.
The judge smiled. In between blows, the judge said, "Jacob, Brian, boys, this is getting us nowhere." With an almost gentle sweep of his hand, he sent them flying back. Brian skittered across the pavement, his skin and flesh scraped off in long, gory strips. With a crunching sound, Jacob slammed into the wrecked GTO, pushing in the only straight body panel. Jacob moved to stand as the judge walked toward him. He saw his Stroger shotgun lying within arm's reach, oddly right beside his missing boot. It had flown from Clyde's cab. He grabbed it and spun as the judge reached down for him. With no time to brace or even aim, Jacob pulled back on both triggers. The blast tore through the judge's face. He staggered back and raised his arms to where his face had been. He touched the gore-covered ruin. His face was already rebuilding itself. Small threads of flesh knitted the bone and meat back together. Within minutes, he smiled and straightened his blood-soaked tie. From behind, Brian picked the judge bodily up, lifted him over his head, and threw him past Jacob to slam against the GTO. The impact pushed the wreckage farther into the ditch. Brian stalked forward. He grabbed the door that had been torn from the GTO. He swung it in a massive arc to slam down on the prone figure of the judge. It folded over his back, pushing him into the earth. Glass and rubber flew in a stream behind the door as Brian lifted it and brought it down again, even harder. It crunched, metal protesting as it bent over the judge. "Enough!" the judge roared as he stood, pushing the crumpled door aside. He reached out and grabbed Brian's left arm and tore it from its socket. Brandy screamed. Blood sprayed in a wide arc. The judge brought the limb around to crash heavily against Brian's head. "I gave you these, and I can take them back," the judge said. Stunned, Brian lurched back, staring at where his arm used to be. With a flick of his hands, the judge's mud-caked, bloody clothing became pristine again. He walked up to where Brian swayed, his arm regrowing. They regarded each other. "Brian, I revoke your contract," the judge said, as he tossed the bloody arm aside and turned to face Jacob. Brian looked from the stub of his arm to Jacob, puzzlement in his eyes. They widened, the irises turned a milky white as his knees folded and he tipped forward. Jacob ran forward to catch him, but Brian's body disintegrated into white powdery ash as it slipped through his fingers to strike the blacktop. Brian was gone. Jacob screamed, "No!" Stories from a Hard Place is a narrative podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another chapter from Hard Place, read by the author. Opening music by Noah Zacharin. Production copyright by R.A. Jacobson, 2022. If you'd like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you would like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it anywhere books are sold, including your local library. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.